Growing up, I always wanted to be a mobster. For us, it's all whānau and family. So this was my mind frame, you know. We're the best. If you want to air for me, yeah, I'll take it to their place, bro. You know, there was a lot of gang tension and gang warfare and things like that going on around the times. I went to jail for a shooting, for a bar shooting. To be honest, I'm just glad that it wasn't any worse. Well, this is jail, eh? Oh, well, I'm here. Yeah, what's that, my son? He said, are you still going to be in the Mongol Mall when you get out of jail? And it just hit me. I was like, no, I'm not, my son.
Please introduce yourself, bro, and where you're from originally.
Ko te timatanga o te mātauranga, ko te wehi te Aotua. E ngā kau te hunga, e mahi nei rungi i taua wehi. E mau ana te whakapai mō nā, āke āke, ti hei, mauri ora. Kia ora, brother. Yep, so I'm born and bred Wairo. Ko whakapuna ke te mātua Māui tikitiki a tāranga te maunga. Ko waka taita tuku ingoa. Nō te Wairo ahau. Born and bred in Wairo, yep.
And what are you doing with yourself currently, brother?
At this stage, brother, we're doing quite a bit back here. So I'm hugely involved in Motivation Aotearoa. I'm supporting my brother. You know, Motivation Aotearoa is my brother's vision, and I believe in their vision, so I'm doing my best to support that. Getting Motivation Aotearoa out to the world and just engaging in the community, eh, brother, and everything positive around here. Anywhere and everywhere I can, I'm engaging with our people. Yeah, I know Motivation Aotearoa fully kicked off while I was in jail. I do believe that the vision, he got the vision for Motivation Aotearoa while he was in jail. But he didn't kick it off. I was already in jail by the time he had kicked it off. You know, and that was heartwarming to see, brother, you know, seeing my brother in his element, seeing the kaupapa that he was running. They were here at this marae that we're at now. You know, and a lot of those boys I knew, I know their family, and just, you know, I've come out now and just to see their growth, bro, they're young men. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing at this stage, brother, and just really, I've only been out of jail for 4 months now, so I've found that structure and stability, but still, you know, enjoying everything out here, eh, brother? Yeah, bro, it's good, because it's not also just freedom for me, eh, brother? I'm totally a different person. I'm not that same person that before I went to jail, if you know what I mean. I'm not that same person, so I'm out here experiencing life. It's all new to me, bro. This the man I am today, the journey that I'm on, it's all new for me, so it's a new experience, but it's good. It's my home, eh? You know, I love this place. It's beautiful here. The people are beautiful. The whenua is beautiful. We're whenua's land, so the land, the environment is beautiful. Yeah, it does have a huge gang culture here. But see, where for us, you know, that gang culture, it's not what it's painted to be. For us, it's all whānau and family. It's an environment that we've been brought up in. There's huge positives in that environment as well. Yeah, Wairoa's a beautiful place, bro. There's a lot of good going on here, a lot of positive. It has had its times and its moments, but everywhere in the country, everywhere around the world, you know, has things going on in their homes, at their places. So for my dad, he's always been a provider, and that comes from my papa as well, my dad's dad. You know, that generation that just work hard. Mum's an all-rounder herself. She's, at this stage, she's just huge in meetings and being involved in everything that's going on in Wairoa, you know, around our awa and around the rebuilding of Wairoa. And yeah, and for where my mum come from, you know, it's, you wouldn't expect from her upbringing and things like that to the things that she's done around town. Now, she has a huge passion and love for our town. That's why she's never left. Well, the honest truth, you know, I watched a bit of rugby and things like that on TV, but I didn't look up to anyone on TV or any rugby stars or anything like that. I looked up to my uncles. The thing with me is I always felt loved around them, eh, brother? Always... acknowledgement, always acknowledged, all the senior members, yeah, all the dogs, all the, what would you say, all my uncles. It's pretty much every dog around here when I was growing up was all my uncles. They were cool. Like Bronce said earlier, you know, pull over, hey boy, give us some money or see if we're all right or see if we want to come for a ride. Going out of town with my uncles, you know, just for like a few nights and that, and it was always fun. It was always cool. And as I as in saying that, as I got to grow up and I'm hearing, you know, about gang members of this and gang members of that, and I used to think to myself, well, you've got it all wrong. You know, there's, you just talk about the violence and things like that, but all I see is the love and the care. Aotearoa itself has a huge gang culture here. So yeah, for here in Wairoa, it's actually quite normal to see gang members around, or, you know, I wouldn't even like to call them gang members, you know, to see our people around that are actually in, you know, in the mob. To the Wairoa College, so I done year 7, 8 and 9. So I done 3 years at the college, and then I got to the stage where, you know, around that time was where I started to smoke dope. So then all it really started to become for me was going to school to get stoned, or getting stoned before school, after school, bunking, sort of ended up turning out for me. Yeah, the fighting, you know, there was a lot of fighting between dog kids and black power kids. You know, and as in saying that, as I grew up, and the ones I started to fight with as an adult were the same ones that we used to fight with at school. I was at a party and I ended up robbing this dairy. You know, I was drunk and ended up robbing the shop. Had to pay reparation and stuff. And yeah, I ended up going over to Hamilton, the Mighty Waikato, to live with my auntie and uncle. Beautiful people. Yeah, my auntie, my uncle, and my cousins over there. So, and I actually loved it over there. It was awesome to where I stayed there, bro. I stayed there, and, you know, my auntie was eager to have me there. She used to make jokes to her friends. Oh, this is my nephew. He's living here. He's moving here with us. And I used to be like, no, Lord, auntie, I'm just here for a holiday. But, bro, it really rubbed off on me. You know, the environment, it was cool. It was different. It was, you know, my auntie really poured heaps of love into me, to where I actually really felt like, oh, this is cool. But no more getting beaten up from my older brothers, though, you know. I can do my own thing over here. I really got showed a lot of attention when I was going to school up there, eh? So that actually helped me to really flourish in school, bro. And really, you know, I got a Bunnings Award for horticulture. I got my NCAs level 1, 2 and 3. Not trying to brag, but I was actually meant to be the head boy for my last year there. So before I come back for the school holiday, so I was sixth form. And then school holidays come around. So every school holidays, I'll come back to Wairoa. So I wasn't allowed to smoke dope and stuff up there, eh, bro? So at times, you know, I used to, like, sneakily have it, but I used to wait till I get back for the holidays, and I used to go hard in the school holidays and things like that and go back. So I'll come back to Wairoa, bro, you know, flash haircuts and looking all, you know, all good. And then, bro, by the time they end the school holidays, I'm going back looking rough and rugged again, bro. You know, my poor auntie, she's like sending off this handsome, you know, thriving young man, and he's coming back bloody. She's thinking, what's happening to you, my nephew? You know, we want you to be the head boy for our school for the following year, but would like you to attend this leadership. It was like a week thing they were running, you know. So I was, oh, yeah, cool, you know. But, I mean, I got to Wairoa, and and it was a Christmas holidays as well, so it was quite a long holiday. Yeah, that all ended up becoming but a dream, eh, bro? Yeah, I ended up partying, drinking, doing all that stuff, and to the point where, I think it was around that time I had my first taste of meth as well. So I was 16, I was about 16, yeah. I didn't know too much about it, but what I did see from it was the effects it was starting to have on some of our people. And at that stage, bro, I grew a hate for it, you know. I grew a hate for it and all the negative things I was hearing about it. But like I said, when I come back for that school holidays and things like that, and then I ended up having my first taste, bro, and I'd be honest with you, all those negative thoughts and everything I had about it, they just went out the window, just like that. I actually thought, wow, this is cool. Right? Wow, what's this feeling? This is mean.
You decided you weren't going to go back to Hamilton. I mean, how was it? How did your auntie feel about you not coming back?
She wasn't happy, bro. She wasn't happy at all. I remember ringing her, bro, and she was just, she wasn't happy, eh? She was highly disappointed, bro. I feel, you know, I feel she probably couldn't even believe that, you know, that, hey, that I made that choice to not come back. Hey, all the good things I was doing in Hamilton sort of just all, it sort of all slipped away, you know, yeah, in other words, bro, the everything just come, bro, it was just like, yeah, just went into a downward spiral, really. When I look back, in a short space, I just hit the meth hard, and, bro, what you'd say, I just got cooked, really. Bro, I just went, yeah, just went hard out into the meth war stage there. Yeah, I feel my family, like, didn't even really know what was going on, because I just feel they probably didn't even believe that I could have been on it. Growing up, I always wanted to be a mobster. Even while I was in Hamilton, you know, I was still wanted to be a mobster. I remember at a time, bro, where I actually felt like, maybe, you know. Because even when I was coming back for holidays, all the whānau, even all my friends, they were all supportive of it. Like, bro, you're doing well up there, father, it's cool. My family was so, you know, I remember my nan being very proud of me, my mum and my dad. You know, all my family, even my brothers and sisters, to see me, you know, in a different light. Now, I had come to that age of like 16 to where you're sort of like, I feel that sort of age where you start to make those decisions that, oh, no, this is what I'm going to do. Yep. It's what I've always wanted to do as growing up. Now I'm at that age. Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. So by the time I had made the choice to come back, yep, my second oldest brother, he was patched. So that's two of my eldest brothers. And then Bront was on that journey as well, you know, going that way. I actually went pretty far down into that. And then I met my kid's mum. So I lost interest for the drug and all that, and I just, you know, all my interest was in her. Still young though, didn't know how to love. You know, I loved her, but I didn't know how to love her. And that was a huge journey in itself, but I left Wairau and then went to go and live with her at her auntie's in a shed in Marainu, Napier. And that's how I got to know our Napier whānau, you know, who showed me so much love and looked after me a lot as well. Meth still started to, you know, I'll be on and off the meth, things like that, and that wasn't helping. Yeah, long story short, bro, my she fell pregnant. By this time, you know, all the boys around here patching it, you know, all the boys are jumping on board, and my brothers, you know, by this time Bronson's fully fledged, he's a dedicated member. My brother Troy, my brother Makaiti. So, I mean, you know, my brother just younger than me, he was coming up. Bro, I actually took it upon myself and I started wearing a T-shirt around. A Mighty Mongrel Mob Aotearoa T-shirt around. I had a few of the boys ask me, where are you on board? Nah, what are you doing with that T-shirt? Because I want to, you know, because I'm allowed to. Now, and I knew a couple of the boys used to kick up a stink thinking, hey. But, yeah, so I started wearing a T-shirt around that first day, bro, and then a couple of the rangatira at the time, they weren't, I mean, you know, just a couple of the bigger boys that we sort of looked up to, and they were sort of in the scene of sort of, you know, running things. Weren't quite presidents themselves at that stage, but we're still sort of running things. Bro, they came and picked me up. They picked me up, and they asked me if I wanted to join the Mongrel Mob, so I wanted to start prospecting, and so they picked me up. We jump in the back, and I'm in the back, and I'm just we're driving, and they, they said, "Oh, we actually picked you up. We want to actually ask you. We want to see if you want to jump on board." Yeah, so you know, I'm in the car, thinking, "Yeah, I do. Yeah, this is what I want to do." Yeah, I made their choice to jump on board. Chucked in the deep end straight away at the pad on shift. Didn't even get to tell Echo or anyone where I was, bro. I just went straight to the pad on shift. And then I thought, wow, this is cool. Really, bro. And I look back, I'm thinking, wow, it was cold and dark and everyone had taken off. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, what was that noise? What the heck? Wow, where's everyone? Hey, bro, I was like, oh, wow, this is actually quite freaky. And if you see at the time where the pad was, bro, it's like, you know, it's waving its own area. It was this huge building. They called the Trident. Just decked out with Mongolism everywhere, bro. Just mob carvings, flags, and pool table, bar, and things like that. And I'm just like, bro, it's dark, it's cold, everyone's gone.
What they
wanted. Bro, not aware of what I'm thinking. Oh, what was that noise? Far. Bro, I can't remember, bro. I just grabbed my blanket and I just thought, man, I'm just going to sleep. Hey, bro, I was going to sleep this off. That's what I've done, bro. And I think I parked up there for about 3 days doing shift. Yeah, you're just waiting. Man, I hope someone pulls up today. Oh, yeah, here's a car. Oh, nah, just went straight past. But, you know, it's always the excitement when the car pulls up to drive. Oh, yeah, here's some of the dogs or here's some people pulling up. So, yeah, I've done a bit of straight in the deep end, done some shift. But, yeah, so it got real and then, you know, I didn't have to do some things that people, you know, say that, you know, you have to do this and do that. It wasn't like that for me. I was 18 when I joined the mob. I'm 30 now. I was 29 when I left the mob. So, yeah, 10 years. 10, 11 years I was with the mob as a member. About 2 years. 2 years I prospected. Didn't have to do any of that hardcore stuff. Yeah, because, you know, when you think about it, just being around here, being a member and just representing is sort of, you know, done a bit of violence and things like that, gone to some fights and, well, that's it, bro. It was nothing new to what I had been doing before. So all that really was different for me was I was now allowed to wear the regalia, but I was also doing shift at the pad. You know, I wore like patches and things like that and took photos and looked in the mirror, but it was actually never my, you know, I was actually never a member. So actually when I actually got patched up, bro, I did feel cool. But later on, my son comes along, you know, Echo falls pregnant. So I'm patched up, you know, I'm happy to be patched up. She's already well aware now that I'm patched up. Yeah, I had experience with God. Just before my son was born, but before he was born, I saw an old friend of ours that I actually owed some money, who I actually tried to dodge. You know, I actually saw her approaching and I was like, oh no, what's she going to say? I still bloody owe her some money from a while ago. But I'm on the footpath, me and my kid's mum, and she's with her daughter and they're walking towards me. I'm like, bro, there's no way of getting past this. Oh, okay. So we get to, I'm like, oh, hey. And she's like, oh, hey, bro. She's lively, you know, bubbly as. The thought of the money's not even on her mind. She's just like, well, how are yous? No, we're good. We're catching up. She's like, bro, I've been going to church. It would be awesome if you'd come along. And I was, and I just looked at my kid's mum and I was like, what's your name? Is Echo. Echo, that's my kid's mum, bro. I look at Echo and Echo's like, yeah, shall we go? And I was like, yeah, no, we'll go. Yeah, no, cool. Oh, we'll see you on Sunday. So, it comes around to Sunday and we get ready and we go, bro. And I went every Sunday after that. It was, bro, one of the best experiences of my life, you know. But, yeah, God has always been in my life. I'll tell you about my first time he revealed himself to me, which was I was at home, sick, you know, had the flu, had a real bad flu, the spewing, the headaches, the hot and cold flushes. And my mum said to me, she said, son, do you know how to pray? No, I don't know how to pray. I'd never heard anything of that. I didn't even know what that was. And she's like, son, ask God. You can ask God to make you better, you know, to make you feel better. So you can talk to God, but you can even just talk to him in your head. You don't have to say it in words. So, you know, I'm there and, you know, I'm asking God, you know, can you make me feel better? Within maybe a stretch of a couple hours, bro, I was up and at him like I wasn't even sick. I was bouncing around. I couldn't wait for my brothers to get home from school. I was like, yeah, I was straight off the couch. I was bouncing. I was like, man, I couldn't wait for my brothers to get home from school. And they get home from school and they got a few of their friends with them. And these are the days of the cards where you're like chucking up against the wall and trying to break them down. And whoever wins, you get all the cards that are on the, you know, on the ground. Well, so we're outside, we're playing all that, bro. And I'm like, I'm getting right into it and I'm jumping around. And like nothing else had even happened before that, eh? And so I'm jumping around doing my thing. And I can remember, bro, I'm like swearing and everything. Like, nah, if those are my cards and if this and if that. And Bro, before I knew it, bro, before it came nighttime, I was back on the couch sick again. Not a word of a lie, bro, I was back on the couch sick again. And that stuck with me my whole life, knowing that, I remember that time when you first prayed and you were better. And then you, you know, forgot like it even happened. And you're out there doing, you know, going back to doing all that, being a nowhere's kid and stuff like that. And then I was back on the couch, bro, sick again. So, I mean, you know, a miracle, you know, when I look back, that was a miracle happened before my eyes in my own life. And that was my first ever time I prayed. Yeah, so, you know, I'll never forget that, and I never have. As I grew up, you know, there were thoughts where I was like, ah, bro, that was just, you know, rah-rah. But, you know, my faith I have today, I know that was God revealing himself to me and doing a miracle in my life, bro. And I still do. I have an uncle, and this is a brother of my mum's. So, all of my mum's brothers, but two, were in the mob. So all of my mum's brothers are in the mob, but two. One's a very successful businessman, and my other one is a very successful man himself, and he's a Christian. He's been a Christian for many years. So, bro, he's always been a cool uncle growing up. You know, he was that uncle that'll take us out hunting and take us onto the farm he was living on, and we got some cool stories with that Uncle Bronson, and my older brother's got some cool stories when he used to take them out to go and pick corn and all that sort of stuff and charge them and give them like 50 cents for a sack of corn in there, bro. They always bring it up like, that uncle used to rip us off, eh? But some good memories, bro, cool memories. Well, that uncle, he gave his life to God, brother. So he's a born-again Christian. I remember as kids, we went out to him getting baptized out Moriri, at the local hot springs. So I remember going out there as a whānau and seeing him get baptised. And so he's been strong with the Lord all the way right up until now. And, you know, he used to share in conversation in the Word, you know, to me and things like that. I remember, like, before I went to jail and things like that, my most recent ones with him were like, hey, you know, I used to sort of like I would tell him that, you know, yeah, but it's all right still me being a mobster, you know. I know God doesn't mind me being a mobster and things like that, eh? Yeah, I can still believe in him, but I can still be a mobster. And he used to try and point out to me in scripture where it means like, you know, but this is what it means here, boy, you know. And like I remember hearing earlier, you know, you can't serve two masters and things like that, eh, bro? But I used to think, but so he always shared scripture with me and not to where it'll put us off, but just to let us know that, you know, this is me, this is what I believe in, and I'd like to share that with you. But the man I am today, you know, I realise it's more than just karakia. It's building that relationship and that connection with God, following Jesus, imitating the things he done here on earth, and just, yeah, having that unconditional love. And it's real life, you know, it's the essence of life, you know, being in a relationship with him and just feeling the presence of the Spirit and things like that, bro. I really, you know, it's way more than just saying karakia. And even nowadays, my karakia, you know, growing up, it used to be asking for things, you know, and for things like that, but it's more than that now. It's giving thanks, you know, thanking him for everything he's doing, for being in my life, for protecting those around me. You know, I always still ask for things, you know, because we're allowed to. And I always continue to ask for guidance, for strength, for courage, for protection over our people and our families. I believe prayer is key. You know, the power of prayer is very powerful. And I'll be honest with you, my prayers continue to be answered daily, bro. Like, and that's real. You know, when I see the things I pray for unfold in front of my eyes, it doesn't get any realer than that. Every Sunday after that, and my life was changing dramatically to an extent, bro, where it was unreal. Those around me were starting to think, what's going on with this guy? Everything ready for my son, you know, we're providing a nice space for my son. We're actually living with Echo's auntie and uncle, beautiful people, and their family. We had our own spot at their place. Working, you know, the fruits were really producing themselves, eh, brother? Really, bro, I remember my pastor at the time was actually asking, have you thought about leaving the mob? You know, and I was strong. No, I'm not leaving the mob. No, you know, this is me. I felt truly in my mind and heart that, you know, it was all right. It was all right to continue in this journey. Because for me, I wasn't going to leave my brothers behind. If anything, in my mind was to bring my brothers along into this, into what I was experiencing. They, you know, all my mob family, I wanted to bring them into the experience because it was life-changing. It was unreal. But it actually got to a point where it started just to feel hard. You know, this was in a small space. My son was born by this time. Beautiful, my son. Yeah, my boy. Praise is his name. Yeah, bro. And you know, that you know, I truly believe his name came from God. You know, because it came out of nowhere. You know, we're looking for a name, and I just had this strong thought of praise. My name and praise, and bro, and he suits his name too. So yeah, it got too hard, and I'll be honest, long story short, in a way I sort of got burnt out, eh? It burnt me out, and then I went back to the drugs, bro. I went back to the drugs, and before I knew it, within a space of so many months, I had lost Echo and my son. I lost my job. So I lost my job, I lost Echo and my son. I was half the size I used to be. I owed money up to my eyeballs. Bro, I was back at rock bottom, you know. I'd sort of like, yeah, to where I'm back at mum and dad's. I still stayed hard with the mob. Me and Echo sort of ended up being like, you know, having breakups and things like that, and going through some things, experiencing some things. Me breaking her heart, her breaking my heart, and things like that. Eh? And eh, my son was starting to sort of witness some things he didn't need to. Eh? Just seeing things that a beautiful young child doesn't need to see. Doing a bit of this and a bit of that, you know, and whatnot. Getting into that lifestyle. I actually sort of started to actually sort of become quite a bit of a violent person, eh? Like, really starting to live this lifestyle of guns, money, and drugs. Sort of lifestyle, eh, bro? That's what sort of started to interest me. So I moved into that direction. And see, the thing with me with the meth was every time I kicked it to the curb, and then every time I picked it up again, I always told myself, nah, I got it this time. I got it under control this time. Now I know what to do now. And every time, bro, it was the same process. It might have been expanded over a longer time, longer period, but it was always the same process. It was always a downward spiral. No matter how much, and I always thought, you know, the bigger the bag, the better it'll be. Bro, the bags got bigger, the money got more. You know, I ended up with more money, but it was always just ended up being a downward spiral. Bro, just a whole lot of violence, really. Money, drugs, yeah, wanting to be, you know, the baddest, you know, baddest gang member I could be, the richest, all that sort of, those sort of mind frames, eh, bro? Not letting anyone F with me. Now I got to a point where, bro, yeah, I had no, you know, if anyone wanted to, I was ready to take it there, if you know what I mean. I was ready to do whatever I had to do to. So this was my mind frame, you know. We're the best, you know. Mongol Mob's the best. If you want to F with me, you know, well then I'll do whatever I had to do, eh, bro? You know what I mean? Not trying to brag or anything, but that's where I got to. Was I was ready to, yeah, I was just down for the, yeah, I don't want to say it, bro, but I was ready to do, you know, whatever I had to do to ensure that no one wanted to F with me, bro. No one wanted to try and think that they, you know, anyone try and say anything other than us being the best, well then I'll take it to their place, bro. And I just went deep into the violence, deep into, you know, there was a lot of gang tension and gang warfare and things like that going on around the time. So yeah, I got into a stage where, you know, I was always had a gun with me. I had quite a lot of guns and things like that. Money, drugs, just not really caring about life, really. To be honest, I wasn't caring about life. I wasn't caring about anyone but myself. I went to jail for a bar shooting outside a local nightclub. Got charged with GBH with a firearm. So I got charged with shooting someone and also for accidentally shooting another person as well. So three people were struck in the shooting. I still got a brother of mine is still serving time for the charges. I got my second parole. To be honest, I'm just glad that it wasn't any worse. You know, I'm glad that no one lost their lives in the event. I know what happened. It was a huge life changer for me, bro, going to jail. It wasn't so much being in jail. It was just more the fact that it was a few things actually, bro. Like looking at a double digit leg, just being stripped away from my family. You know, see, look at that. At that time, that's where now I'm thinking of my family, eh, bro. All before that. Don't get me wrong, I never stopped loving my kids and things like that, but I was, you know, I wasn't really there, eh? I wasn't a present dad. I was a half-pie dad, if anything, you know, I wasn't even that really. Slept for a few days first, you know, slept for a few days, due to being up for bloody weeks on end and whatnot. So I slept a few days away and I thought, wow, this is jail. This is the food. What the heck? This is what everyone talks about. This is jail, eh? Oh, well, I'm here. Bro, it was like a smack in the face, like reality check, like, bro, you're here. I actually got bail on the charges. Come back, sort of started going back to, you know, the same old thing. That didn't last for long. I went back in and I never got out again till I got my parole. But as I'm saying that, you know, as I was in there, as I look back, it's cool how, you know, he was amongst it all. You know, he was amongst it all, bro. He was working and doing his thing to where I had to go through all that. I mean, the experience, just everything, bro, was like to the point where I actually look back and I enjoyed every part of it. I enjoyed the experience, the growth, the environment. I had so much support outside and inside, you know, even inside there. I had support, being with the boys. Really, at the start of it all, I'm thinking, you know, I'm still willing to go not guilty. I'm still trying to find ways to get out of this, you know. I don't want to do any jail time. I want to get off this. I'm still lying to myself, like, nah, man, I'm going to get off this, you know. I'm not guilty. You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get off this, or not whatever it takes, but I'm going to, you know, I'm not guilty. I'm going to fight this. Bro, I actually started to pray again, you know. You have all the time in the world, eh? Especially when it comes to nighttime, and stuck in your thoughts and things like that. But so I started to pray again, just little bits at a time, just at nighttime, do a kind of care, do things like that, keeping in touch with whānau. But I started to focus on my case. I met an awesome man. The top there, his name's Marlon Hodges. Or he eventually ends up being a huge help in my journey in jail, especially around whakapapa, tikanga, and te ao Māori. I had to realise that, no, I'm guilty of this. There's no way of getting off it. What do I have to do from here now? I'm going to go guilty. Now, what's the best plan from here forward? So what I really had to do, bro, it comes down to sort of like a three A's. I had to acknowledge that what I'd done was wrong. I had to accept that jail was the consequence. And I had to address what I had done. Not just my crime that I committed, but also the people that I hurt, my family, my kids' mum. I come up to a point where I'm ready to put in a plea, and I put in my guilty plea. And so putting my guilty plea, it put me over into convicted, and that's where my journey started. And I remember Bronson telling me, there's a Māori pathway in there. Jump on that, brother. Jump on that Māori pathway. So I made it, you know. See, my brother's out here role modeling a healthy lifestyle, you know. So all his advice to me was, you know, I really treasured his advice. I mean, you see, jump on that Māori pathway. I made a commitment that I'm going to get on that Māori pathway. So I pled guilty, got convicted, and jumped straight onto the Māori pathway. And it was just a journey from there. Wow. Yeah, so I'm in there with brothers, with or boys that I grew up with, that I've known through being in the mob, that I've known growing up. So, you know, we already had the connection and the bonds there. So I spent a lot of my time up in the high security with people that I knew and grew up with, and all with mob. They run a program in there on the Māori pathway in the high security called 10AO. This is me. That's the meaning of 10AO. So, bro, I jumped on that course and on that program, and just from then on, you know, I started to engage in tikanga, te reo Māori. I wanted to make, you know, I'm going to make the changes that I need to make to be the best I can be, to be the best dad I can be, the best brother, the best uncle, best member of society that I can be. I couldn't have went any better, bro. I ended up being sentenced to 5 years and 11 months. Exact same for my brother that was charged as well. Yeah, I kicked my journey off down into the units, which was Māori focus. So I just followed that Māori pathway all the way through, and I done everything along with extra, you know, I done everything I could, everything positive. I engaged in everything inside the prison, tikanga, te reo, everything, bro. I jumped on any course I could. I went to Kaituki, had an awesome experience over there. Really engaged heavy in the te ao Māori, into the tikanga Māori, engaged heavy in it there, and bro, just felt massive growth. Karakia Waiata, it's hard out over there, bro. It's for the whole, you know, it's just consistent, bang, bang, bang. I had achieved everything, bro. I had done some reintegration, and there was a brother over there, Aaron King. Bro, he's like my best mate now. He's a Christian brother. Now he's been, you know, been through the foster care and all that growing up, been through the gang lifestyle, been in the gangs, and so he's a born-again Christian. He's given his life to God. Bro, the relationship he has with God, it's so cool. So I started to share time with him, man. But he, you know, he hit me with some hard ones too, you know. He sort of let me know, bro, you got to make some choices. And he saw, you know, he put it on me that, brother, you know, you would have to leave the mob. Well, you know, he didn't say it like that, eh? But he just sort of pretty much told me that, you know, there's a decision that you will have to make. You know, that's up to you on whatever decision it is you make. But, you know, there will be a come a time when you have to make that decision. And I always just used to tell him, oh, bro, I can just do both. Make it into one sort of thing. But then it got to the point where it started getting real. I started attending the chapel, building a connection with the local chaplain, Brother Arth. He's an ex-member of the Warra mob. He's been with the Lord for about, I believe it's about 30 years. I had my first whānau hui, so I hadn't seen my kids in person for that whole 2 years. It's coming up to my first whānau hui. It was so emotional. It was like one of the best feelings in the world, man, seeing my babies, bro. I just couldn't stop crying. It was beautiful. So much people helped make that happen too. That was the first family outing at a marae that had been put together like that, bro. So it was sort of like, we were like the pilot. We sort of, now it happens in there now. But we were the first to do that. When we're saying our goodbyes, you know, it wasn't easy for my boy, you know. I could see him just sort of preparing himself for that goodbye. The last things he said to me, bro, this was the last thing my son said to me before he jumped in the car was, and I was hugging him, and he said, Dad, I said, yeah, what's that, my son? And he said, are you still going to be in the Māori mob when you get out of jail? Bro, and it just hit me. I was like, I looked at my son and I was just like, no, I'm not my son. And I said, no, I'm not my son. You know, and I hadn't made that decision, neighbor, until then, till my son asked me that. Yeah, and I saw his eyes light up. I give him some love and he gets in the car and he goes with him. I say, see you to my whānau, and they take off, bro. And, you know, so right there, I made a promise to my boy, bro, to my son, and that's when it got real. At that time, I still didn't know how I was going to do it. But, you know, I really felt that that was God coming through my son, bro, speaking to me. Yeah, I just built up the courage. I talked to a few of the boys about it. But, you know, like they said, you know, if that's, I talked to Bronze. I remember ringing Bronze and told him, this is what I want to do, brother. And, you know, he was just had, you know, I had his 100% support. Even the other brothers inside that I told, you know, they said, whatever decision you make, you know, I'll always love you and I'll support whatever decision it is. I keep putting it off. I keep telling God, no. You know, I'll do it this day. You know, I'll do it, no, this day. And then it got to a time where, so I was in my own conversation and then I get this thought that, hey, you told me that you're going to do it. You know, you told me. Well, I ring up and it doesn't even ring for that long and he answers. And long story short, I told him, you know, I told him, this is what I'm up to, brother. And it could have went so many ways, but my brother's reply was, it was so humbling, bro. That's where I really felt, you know, the mercy and grace of God. It was a good conversation. I couldn't have went any better than that. So I hang up their phone and I just walk around the whare. So if you've been in a gang and you've been in those positions, you'll realise. Yeah, because when you leave a gang, you can't just leave a gang, eh, bro? You got to do it righteously. You got to do it honourably. And I'd done it as righteously and as honourably as I could, you know, as much as I wanted to wait till I got out. And now I see now why I couldn't wait, bro. You know, I actually understand why I had to do, you know, before I got out. Hey, if I waited till I got out, bro, I don't think it would ever been done. So the first thing I also thought, bro, when I'm walking, I just thought, I can't wait to tell my son. And just the feeling of freedom, I never felt so free in my life. One by one, I was just telling those, you know, those around me. I rung up my whānau, I rung up my son. And that's what exactly with everyone inside too, bro. All the boys, you know, big scary dogs, you know, big scary mob members that I'm just wondering, oh, you know, if I ever come across this brother, you know, could go either way. I was taken in with open arms, eh, brother? Then again, their grace and mercy. There's no heart that's too hard for him to touch, brother. It's been an awesome journey since, brother. Every day has been, I've been alive, bro. Every day is meaningful. You know, he's stripped away. And I used to be shy. I used to have anxieties, insecurities, things like that. Hey, those are gone. I'm a new creation in Christ. The way I see things are totally different, you know. The care, you know, I just want the best for our people. I want the best for our families. I just want the best for our people. I live for the day where I see unity amongst our people. Yeah, bro, I'm not shy or ashamed to get emotional. You know, I'm not shy or ashamed to say that I'm a Christian, that I believe in God. Nah, he's really saved me. You know, I'm out here giving life a real go this time and play my part and help you make this world a better place. I'm free of so many things. You know, I have no desires to go back to that lifestyle. I have no desires to hurt anyone, to be violent, to, you know. I can't even remember the last time I swore. You know, for those, yeah, just get to know yourself. Stand in your mana. Stand in your mana and be you. You know, be you, be proud to be who you are. You don't need to put on an image or, you know, put on an act or prove anything to anyone. Just be you. You know, prove to yourself. Yeah, and a big one for me was just being tika and punoe, brother, to myself. You know, I didn't have time to lie to myself and things like that. And things that don't benefit me in my life, I didn't have time for those things. Anything that doesn't benefit me, I do my best to remove it. Anything like that, anything that's not positive in my life or anything that's positive, I have no time for it. Yeah, I'll just share one scripture, hey brother. This is a Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you,
says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.